The world went to hell around the year 2000, which is why Adam and Chad live less than 2000. Like and subscribe on your favorite podcast app and continue the conversation on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And if you're cool enough, join the show on Patreon for exclusive bonus content, specials, and early access to a longer, uncensored, less than 2000 experience. And now, less than 2000 with Adam Wintz and Chad Bischoff.
Less than 2000. Now part of the Greenlit Podcast Network.
So, we like rap, right?
Well, I liked rap.
Oh, you're doing this. Okay, so Adam today in 2021 doesn't like rap.
I don't like new rap. I mean, I like the old stuff.
Well, the show is less than 2000. You're already setting this up weird, man. I mean, like, this, our show is about the 80s and 90s. So I'm not talking about rap today. I'm saying we really liked rap, right?
Yes, we really liked rap. Okay. And to just throw you off track completely, I really liked rap, and I still really like the 80s and 90s rap. I do not like the new.
Yeah, well, the new is all, like, heavy, like, and dark, and it's just like, what the am I listening to?
I don't even know. It all sounds the same.
It all sounds.
I know
the
how my parents
same.
Felt. I know how my parents felt. Like, it just sounds like they're talking really fast.
You know, one of my favorite TV commercials right now is literally the where, like, we can't help you. You're going to turn into your parents, but we're here to help, like, guide you.
Oh yeah,
where they're like, you know, no, it's okay. You hired him. You know, or like the guy's moving the pillows off, like, oh God, they're just, it's so awkward. I love that commercial. I hate turning in to our parents, but that's besides the point because we love rap. Okay. And we loved rap like long before high school, right? I mean, fifth grade, we did a lip sync to Naughty by Nature.
No. It was Black Sheep.
Thank you. Oh, my God.
It was way more obscure than Naughty by Nature.
It was even worse than Naughty by Nature. It was Black Sheep. You can get
you
with this.
You can get with this, or you can get with that.
You can get with this,
or you can get with that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm just saying, we were way ahead of the time, right? I mean, we loved rap far, far earlier than when rap hadn't hit, like, mainstream.
Yes. Well, yeah, especially for where we were, like, in grade school, in junior high or younger, and in Omaha, Nebraska, at a Catholic school. Dude, I think you and I were the only two people that liked rap. We got made fun of. We were called the W word because we listened to rap. We sagged. We wore our hats backwards.
I know. We were cool.
And we were very cool. Everybody else was wrong, but we were really cool. And yes, we loved rap. Going back to Naughty by Nature, OPP, and even earlier than that. Black Sheep. I mean, I bet most people don't even know about Black Sheep now.
No.
Let alone in 91 or whatever it was.
Absolutely. They know the song, though. They'll know the song. You have to tell them the song. You know, and then...
Come on! Come on!
Yeah, you tell them. I don't think that's going to get... That was every song
engine,
in the 90s.
Engine number 9, London, New York Transit Line. Yeah, that... Yeah.
Yeah. Remember, I mean, we... Not only did we get made fun of, when we... Remember we went... We did the tour of high school when you're in eighth grade, and I remember asking the tour guide, so, like, what's the rap scene like, you know, here? And the guy looked at me and goes, don't even bring it into the school, man. Like, literally was like, you will get beat up if you listen to rap where we were headed freshman year. Yes. So imagine to the f***ing surprise, we go to school, it's freshman year, and then Dangerous Minds comes out, and then suddenly everybody's listening to rap. That album was in every single CD Discman. Oh. Everybody bopping around with the little Sony, little thin, you know, over the ear, you know, headphones.
Or 5 disc changer on your car, on the SUV that your parents bought you. Yes.
Everybody was listening to Coolio, Gangsta's Paradise, and the Dangerous Mind soundtrack. And I'll admit, I mean, I actually just sat in my car, had nowhere to go. But I sat in my car anyway, just to relive listening to the Dangerous Mind soundtrack yesterday. Mm. And I gotta say, it doesn't suck. The worst part about the album is Gangsta's Paradise, because I can't help but just think of Weird Al's living in an Amish paradise.
Okay, so much to unpack there. The fact of the matter is, we were huge fans of rap. We were ostracized for liking Public Enemy, for liking NWA, for liking all the spinoffs, Ice Cube and Dr. Dre and Eazy-E. We listened to all of that. We bumped it with our subs in the back of the cars our parents bought us, and bumped it on our way to our Catholic schools. And we were ostracized from it because it was all about either pop music or like metal or the vanguard of grunge at the time.
I mean, I think death metal was more popular than rap. I mean, and that's saying something.
Easily. Dude, Michael W. Smith and Christian music was way bigger than rap where we came from. So here's my problem with it. Overnight, that song made rap popular.
Yes.
Overnight. Instantly, the very next day we come to school, and that is bumping out of so many people's cars, pulling up to the Catholic school, and it revolted me, because it's like, what the hell have you guys been doing this whole time, and now suddenly it's cool.
And
now
it's not even cool rap. It wasn't even that cool rap. I mean, I know I said I like it, because it had a certain nostalgia to it, but you compare that to the stuff we were listening to from Public Enemy and even Digital Underground and all that kind of stuff. Everything you just named, far better rap. But for some reason, Dangerous Minds soundtrack, like, mm-hmm. catapulted not an artist, an entire genre into, like, middle America. And I think, you know, we talked about Nine Inch Nails, how we got pissed off, how, like, we heard them first, and then they said,
and then
you like an animal, and then everybody knew it. That happened with an artist. This happened on an entire genre for us. We lost everything overnight.
We did. And I hated it because of that. I absolutely hated it. I hated the video. I hated the song. I hated the movie. I hated Coolio. I was filled with a lot of hate. And as you, this is going to actually, though, let you behind the curtain a little bit. Mm-hmm. And show some insight into the insight I've had into myself, which okay. is if it's popular, I generally hate something. Like, I'm anti-establishment.
Well, that's not new material. So, I mean, right. you know.
I'm just setting it up. All of our yeah. fans know that. Well, what I realized a while ago, but I'm just saying it on the show, is that that was a personality feature. Like, I intentionally hated on things that were popular. I liked being the weirdo that liked the random obscure stuff, like Black Sheep, like Nine Inch Nails, like rap before it got popular. And because it becomes part of your identity, like, you like being counterculture, you like being on the fringes, or I did. And then when it became all popular, I had to hate it. I had to turn my back on it. And I didn't really like a lot of rap after that point. Now, Tupac did some things before he died that were still good. You know, later I discovered Eminem did some pretty good things, but of course I hated it at the time it came out in the late 90s.
Yeah.
But
you,
by and
you
large,
did. I want to be clear. I have a whole other stance that I'll get into.
I can't wait to talk about Eminem on a later episode, but I just had to hate it because it was popular and that was against my nature. That being said, I listened to it again for the first time in decades today. And looking at it objectively, and looking at it without the teenage angst, and without, like, trying to define myself as a human being in relationship to it, I realized it's a good song. I actually think it is a really, really good song with a good message and well-performed and the right place at the right time. It did popularize rap, and that kind of ruined it for me. But when I can remove myself from that and just look at it as a song, I think it's good. I really do think it's a good song. I know. You're sitting here stunned. Your mouth is agape.
I know. I don't know what to say to this. Well, one, thanks for sharing your thoughts.
I'm full of crap. In other words,
well, yeah, that's
it's all a defense
that's been
mechanism.
Obvious. Yeah, well, yeah, oh. You literally, you're always on defense. I mean, we could literally write textbooks on your psyche. I mean, like, There is so much to unpack in Adam alone that we could dedicate, and not an episode, an entire podcast to your lifestyle. But that's for a different, totally different day. I always took the opposite approach. Like, it's not that I wanted to jump on the bandwagon. It's just, if enough people like it, it doesn't necessarily make it good. But let's be honest, if something becomes really popular, it might be because it's good. You just hated inside what it did to you as a person. So I jumped on the bandwagon. I liked it because I liked the song back then. My problem is I still skipped over that track in preparing for the episode about Gangsta's Paradise because I still can't listen to it today. Listened to it so fucking much that I cannot listen to it. It Takes a Thief. I listened to that album, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Fantastic Voyage. I mean,
Coolio's first one, right?
Yeah, I can listen to that. I listened to the Dangerous Minds soundtrack. Could not bring myself to listen to that track. I watched Weird Al's parody music video of that, which is amazing because
it's
the
great.
Shot of him the shot sweating. Of him sweating, just dripping in water, because Coolio in the original video was so sweaty.
Oh my god.
So
that's one of his best ones. Honestly, that is one of his best parodies, I think. It has me in stitches. It's very well written and clever, and I really enjoy it. And I liked it at the time because it made fun of a song I hated. I mean, I hated it so much, I've never seen Dangerous Minds. Never seen it. I don't know anything about the soundtrack. I don't know if there are other good songs or what other artists are on it or what kind of...
The rest of the soundtrack's great. I mean, I listened to it today and last night. I mean, it was great.
But you skipped the song that we're talking about today?
Because I couldn't bring myself to hear it again.
Need some adventure in your life? What Mad Universe is a podcast about the history of sci-fi, fantasy, and horror, where we delve the depths of pop culture history.
Everything's the same politically, but we have ray guns.
The actual motive isn't to explore something that's, quote, scientifically possible.
But neither is Star Wars, and I know there's arguments about that, but I would definitely consider Star Wars science fiction.
You haven't read Dune!
No, I haven't.
You can never be the Kwisatz Haderach. What Mad Universe on the Greenlit Podcast Network.
Matt, I've got a great idea for a podcast. You and me, we watch movies, right? And some of them are kind of bad, and so we make fun of them. But maybe some of them are good.
Chris, that's a great idea. Let's do it. And eat snacks. Movie Fighters, an original idea on the Greenlit Podcast Network.
Quick point of order, real quick. I thought we were going to try to swear less. I've heard you use the F word 3 times already.
And, well, I'm amped
and we've
up today,
said SH
man.
A few times.
Well, I'm sorry. Okay, I'll tone back the curse words. I'm amped.
Are you a huge cunt?
Us too.
Wait, can we even say cunt?
Of course. It's empowering these days. Cunt, 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 cunt. I'm Ange Balasone, a.k.a. the drag queen, Fat Girl Gina.
And I'm Mike Fales, just a normal gay guy, I guess?
And we're the hosts of The Big Cunty Couch,
a gorgeous new talk show podcast where we invite queers and peers to sit bitch and be fierce on a huge-ass couch
while we gab about all things gay.
So come get cozy
and cunty
with us. We're pan for platforms, so find us anywhere online and get listening, sweetie.
Or watching.
Or both.
Otherwise, why the hell am I in full drag?
And we'll see you on The Big Oh, wait, I thought we were going to say that together.
No. On the Big Cunty Couch. Mwah.
We are amped. We are talking about gangster rap, so they're swearing in that, but not this song. And in fact, this is one of his, you know, he didn't swear in Fantastic Voyage, but of a lot of his other songs contain swearing.
Totally.
Did you know that the sample for this song is a Stevie Wonder song?
No.
It's from Songs of the Key of Life. From the great album of Stevie Wonder, Songs of the King of Life, Key of Life, Pastime Paradise. We're living most of our lives in a pastime paradise. But yeah, I think that was from like 76 or 77.
That's kind of cool.
So it is kind of cool. And I went back and listened to that version. Stevie Wonder. Oh my God, does he have soul? Wow. But It's an all around good song. I just hated it, and because it was popular, and I hated popular stuff. And you know, I never saw the movie. Of course, Michelle Pfeiffer was in the video, who was the star of the movie, and it just nothing about that looked really cool. And I have to say, I never thought of Coolio as like a gangsta rapper. I knew him from Fantastic Voyage, which is like a party song, which is like slide, slide, slippity slide. It's just like,
well, that and the only other good song he had, period. 1, 2, 3, 4, get your woman on the floor. That's the only,
right,
there was
right.
That. And then this Gangsta's Paradise thing, those three things were like the only hits.
Oh, I forgot I lost my thread when I was talking about Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder said you could use the song, but you can't swear. And I guess Coolio's idea was to make it like really dark, really street. His words, really street. And the video was going to have like lowriders and stuff like that. And no Michelle Pfeiffer. Then somebody came along and was like, let's make it like a little bit more like the movie. And I think that was a good choice because there's not a bunch of swearing and everything. But and that was a good move for him because then it could get top 40 radio and it was like a pop song. And more people heard it. But really, I mean, honestly, dude, looking at it objectively as an adult, I it's not like it gave me chills or anything, but I got the message. Like I didn't think of Coolio as this like party image guy, but like a guy from Compton, where he actually was from, who experienced some of this stuff. You know, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left, because I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks my mind is gone. Now, it doesn't have the same effect when I say it. It sounds more like a nursery rhyme when I say it. I'm a loked out gangsta set trippin' banga, and my homies is down, so don't arouse my anger, fool. Death ain't got nothing but a heartbeat away. I'm living life, do or die, what can I say? I'm 23 now. But will I live to see 20 foe? The way things now are going, I really don't know.
Now I really wish we had video because my eyes are wide. You're like hunched over. You're like hunched over reading the lyrics on your phone or paper, which already looks funny because I'm looking at like the top of your head, and I'm sitting here wide eyed, like you're literally reading it verbatim. And including foo and stuff.
And like, 20 foe.
And 20 foe.
I just, you know, it's clearly a song about living in the hood and that it's not a paradise. It's not, it should not be glorified. And you know, that is, God, when I talk about turning into our parents, you know, I remember like, parents and teachers and everything being so like, they shouldn't glorify that. They shouldn't glorify the streets and everything like that. And I remember you and me being like, no, they're speaking out. They're letting us know about it. They're letting, they have a social conscience and they're saying, hey, this is what it's like for us. Yeah. Let's do something.
Public
about
Enemy,
it.
Especially was like Public Enemy was like the first political rap group.
Yes, yes. And even things that were less political and more just like street like in NWA was like, this is what it's like. You know what I mean?
For sure.
And now as an older man, as a much older man, as at the age that my dad was when he was telling me not to listen to rap.
And then buying you sex packets by Digital Underground.
Well, I don't think he necessarily knew. But yes, he would say things like, you shouldn't glorify it. And I have felt that way too. Like, why is this so shallow? Why is all this music about how much bling I got and what my car looks like and how many I have? And it's like, you know, you're killing each other in the streets, right? Y'all are fighting over the scraps, you know? And if y'all got together and were like a collective force instead of, you know, fighting for scraps with each other on the street corner, you could do amazing things. And I remember the movie, you know, Boys in the Hood, and even Menace to Society. Lawrence Fishburne and Rock in those movies were like the wise old black man who was like, we need to like uplift ourselves. We need to do black businesses and support each other and stop shooting each other and selling drugs and all these things on the street. You and I thought that was so lame when we were 10 to 16.
Sure.
But now as an adult, I feel that way.
I want to counter your point. It's not that I necessarily disagree. However, if you've come from a life where you don't have much and you finally have it, you might go a little nuts. Society put them there. So though I agree with that sentiment, though I agree all people should raise each other up, but if you're in a position of poverty and you're living in poverty and the streets and all the stuff they're rapping about, the whole point is you don't know what it's like to come from nothing and then be 20-24 maybe if you get there. And then all of a sudden by 18, you have all of this money. If Adam would have had millions of dollars at 18, you would have been rolling around in a souped up ride. And you would have been flaunting a little bit of it. You know, you talk about Lawrence Fishburne and you know, the older wise men of these movies that we watched that have the good perspective. That should be what we do. If we're turning 60 with the exact same thoughts when we were 15, there might be a problem with you. I mean, you have to kind of grow up and wisen up and change your philosophy and look at the world around you and try to make it better. I mean, and if you're not, you're just not opening your mind up.
And to bring it back to this song, one of the reasons I enjoy it so much as an adult is A, you know, not having that defining my personality about being counterculture, but also because this song does not glorify hood life. This is an anthem against that kind of life. It's lamenting that and saying, hey, you know, why are we so blind to see that who we hurt are you and me? That's what the message of the song is. And I think it's a good message.
I just got chills. See, when you read it, I'm not hearing the beat. So I like that we're actually just reading the lyrics instead of like playing the song.
By the way, the guy who sang the choruses, that part that I just read, as long as we spend most of our lives living out in a gangster's paradise, is a guy named LV. And he actually had a version of this song on his own debut album that came out in 96 that didn't have Coolio on it. And I listened to that too, and I really enjoyed it.
I'm excited to check that out.
Did you know? Okay, so some of the first of all, it was the number one Gangsta's Paradise by Coolio, number one single of 1995. That's pretty cool and pretty big. And listen to this. At the Billboard Awards, these are the bands he was up against. He was TLC Waterfalls, which you and I have talked about might be the song of the 90s. And Kiss from a Rose by Seal, Creep by TLC. TLC had two songs in the same best pop song. This is the category, best pop song of 1995. And then, of course, Gangsta's Paradise, one out of that group, which is a pretty stacked group, if you ask me.
It's a very stacked group. But it's not surprising because going through and listening to the lyrics, you know, when there's absolutes in the world, you can only turn your eyes so long. So when this song comes out, which is, you know, really speaking in a more positive light that, hey, this isn't the way it should be, people listened. Because it wasn't just all cursing and look at my and
yeah,
all this kind of stuff. He was really saying, like, this isn't the way. We're killing each other. We're doing it. But he did it in a poetic way.
He did.
Put it to an amazing beat that still had some depth and heart and passion and soul into it. And people were able to take that, and it was something different. It was something different for them to latch on to. And that's why it became so popular.
And that very good point, very good point. And that's why it's a better, that's probably why it was so popular, because in terms of a song, you know how we were referencing Public Enemy, who's very angry and shouty, and then a song, a band like NWA, who's very dirty, extremely dirty, with the sexual stuff they talk about, the drugs they talk about, the
Luke
violence.
Luke and the Two Live
killing.
Crew and all that stuff.
Oh, God, Luke and the Two Live Crew, holy crap. You know, yeah, they might be saying, quote, how it is on the streets, unquote, but that's not going to connect with the certain, like, groups that we're talking about, with the mainstream. I mean, yes, it is reporting what's really happening, but it's also not relatable to the people we went to high school with. And so this A is a really good song in general and has that great like vocal hook that LV does. And did you know Coolio actually wrote this in one sitting? He sat down, the first few lines are improv, or, you know, freestyle is the word in hip hop, improv, freestyle. And then he just one sitting knocked this all out. 6 million records on the single. The single sold 6 million. It won a Grammy and won 2 VMAs and the Billboard Award. At the Billboard Awards I was talking about, he performed this live with Stevie Wonder. But anyway, I'm actually really glad we ended up doing this show. And I remember when we discussed it, we were talking about how the theme of it was going to be how this song ruined rap for us. And it actually turned out to be helped me really discover this song for the first time and appreciate it for what it is. I mean, it's not my favorite rap song by any means.
No.
But instead of being my least favorite, I can certainly appreciate what it stands for. And it's a good song.
Welcome to 1995, Adam.